Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Peter said to Jesus, "Look, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields, for my name's sake, will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
Loving God, we gather in your name and we invite your divine presence into this space. Bless our time of worship and learning. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Today is marked as the conversion of Paul. The word conversion comes from Latin meaning to turn, to bend, described as the process of changing or causing someone to change from one form to another. Angela Tilby writes in one of her Church Times contributions, "Conversion is surrender to reality. Conversion is surrender to reality, to ultimate reality." So the process of changing or causing someone to change from one form, from one reality to another. One moment Paul is hunting any who belong to the way, men or women. The next moment he becomes one of them. Rowan William writes, "There is another world, and it is the same as this one. There is another world, and it is the same as this one. It is like Paul is stepping from one world into another, and it is the same as this one." Similarly, our gospel reading alludes to two kinds of worlds or realities captured in Jesus' words. "But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." So the ones who are first in one reality are last in the other, and vice versa. A paradoxical reversal. Paul's journey to Damascus leads him from one world, from one reality to another. Let us trace this journey. He works as part of a network of religious power. This is power over. Jerusalem is the headquarters of this powerhouse, Damascus, an outpost. He works for the high priest. He has the power to breathe threats and murder against those who don't conform to this prescribed world, and he's authorized to bring them bound to Jerusalem. He has got a fearsome reputation of how much evil he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. And in Damascus, he's known to have authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke God's name. So this first world, or reality, can be summarized as follows. Paul has got, I call it, worldly religious power over others. He's in charge. He has got authority, authorization to persecute others who don't conform to his worldview. Now let's look at the second world, the second reality. He falls to the ground. He's told by Jesus to get up and enter the city, and that he will be told what he is to do. He can see nothing, so he is led by the hand and brought into Damascus. For 3 days he is without sight. The second world or reality can be summarized as follows. He's struck to the ground, which makes him powerless. He's told by Jesus what to do. He cannot see and has to be led by others by the hand, rendering him completely vulnerable and without agency. In his powerlessness, he must absolutely rely on others, on God. Power in this world can be defined as power with. So we have two worlds. Paul knows his role in the first world, and he tells us how he's advanced in it. And he knows who belongs to his religious group and who doesn't. And he's authorized to persecute those who don't conform to this worldview. He works as part of a network of power. So the first world is that of worldly religious power. And the second one is God's world. And Paul is being led from one world into the other. He cannot lead himself. Only God can. Paul enters God's world or reality by being powerless, struck to the ground, blinded, and having to rely on others. That is how God works, and it is the only way. This is also reflected in another famous passage. There is strength in our weakness, Paul says in Corinthians. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made work perfect in weakness, says God. So there is power, namely God's power, in our powerlessness. It means that true power emerges from vulnerability, acknowledging limitations and relying on something greater like God or community. It is a paradox where admitting need opens the door for divine help, builds humility, fosters deeper connections, and reveals ultimate strength in surrender, not self-sufficiency. Conversion is surrender to reality, remember. So this is the world and the reality of God, which is the only real and lasting reality. Both worlds operate powerful networks, but they work very differently. Both networks rely on people for their power. In the first world, authority comes from human beings, the chief priest, and this is power over others. In the second world, authority comes from God. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, but get up and enter the city. God has got his own powerful network, and Ananias is part of it. We hear the Lord saying to Ananias in a vision, what he is to do. So two worlds, two realities. I'm briefly going to introduce you in similarly two kinds of realities, but they relate to the ones I've just talked about. It's from a book I've read, After Jesus, Before Christianity. Remember, Christianity was taken as state religion by Constantine in the 3rd century. So this book looks at the first 2 centuries after Christ's death, and there is enormous variety and diversity in the early Jesus groups. So this is what this book looks into, and there's so much evidence now that can reflect the diversity of the early followers of Jesus. And again, it talks of two worlds, the gospel of empire and the gospel of Jesus. And I'm going to read you parts of it. The first two centuries involved two good news parties, the Romans and the Jesus peoples. In contemporary English, there are two important translations of the Greek word evangelion. It translates as good news. So evangelion was a word that was used by the Roman Empire. It referred to an official governmental announcement of some particular good news for the whole Roman Empire. Power over. So for instance, the empire could wish an emperor an official and public happy birthday using the word good news in the sense of a proclamation. So Jesus calling his message good news is an act of subversion of the Roman Empire. So in the first two centuries, two distinct versions of good news go head to head. Rome announces a brash and powerful good news event about the beauty and might of the savior emperor who destroys his enemies and makes everything right with the world, calling it peace, Pax Romana. And the budding Jesus schools, that's how they all called themselves, Jesus schools, parties of the anointed, supper clubs, each with different names, they announce good news that celebrate a crucified anointed one and looks forward to a new creation, calling it peace. During this time, tens of thousands of people recognize the good news that the Roman Empire announces. It is everywhere. It is the good news that the ruling government has saved all people in the Mediterranean, such as, for example, from pirates. The major caveat to this peace, however, was that most people in the Roman Empire experienced it as oppression. For these people, the definition of good news came, so that was oppression, what the Romans did. But for the Jesus people, their good news came in smaller doses and was mostly experienced in small communities. People in these small groups found good in relationships. They were thankful for the solidarity with others. Just think of Paul and Ananias, who provided them with help and support in daily life. These groups were known for their joy and compassion. They claimed the wisdom that pointed towards values of generosity, experiments in how to live, and bonding with one another. They lived centered around regular meals. Most of them had an ongoing relationship with Jesus. These fresh practices, encounters, and developments were the other good news. The good news of Jesus and friends inspired people to resist Roman Empire and violence, creating new concepts of what should be considered good news. We are all on our lifelong conversion journey from one world or reality to another, individually and as a community here in Beeston. This other world or reality, also called the Kingdom of God, is the same as this one. How does God call us to join this ultimate reality? Final points. Our reading suggests Paul fell to the ground and heard a voice. Somehow, life renders us powerless, and in that powerlessness, in that surrendering, we can learn to discern God's voice for our lives. The Lord said to Paul in a vision, we can inwardly, with our inner eye, with our heart, learn to perceive God's presence and guidance. The Lord said to Ananias in a vision, God uses and empowers others on our journey. God connects people because, remember, this is power with. And immediately something like scales fell from Paul's eyes. God somehow enables us to see in a new way. After considerable blindness or not being able to see or make sense of things, God enables us to see God's reality and our place in it. So I invite each one of us and our whole community to become more and more part of God's world and reality. And please remember, this other world is the same as this one. Jesus is inviting us to join God's network of divine power in the here and now. Amen.